Hey everyone, Philip here. It's been a long time, and it's been a long time because a lot of stuff is happening. Firstly, I have a talk show which started out as an extension to this podcast and developed its own life over on YouTube. I've got about 12 guests waiting at the moment. I'm slowly segueing between science fiction authors to comedians to producers, actresses. It's a writing podcast. It's called Strange Stories with Philip Carter. And what happens in it is I talk to a clever person for an hour or two and shake them until they say something funny. I'm going for a sort of Graham Norton show vibe. It's a lot of fun. You can find it on YouTube. Other than that, I've done Comic-Con. I've maybe made an update here that I've forgotten about. I had a Kickstarter project for a science fiction time travel trilogy. That almost got funded, even though I've got no reach on Instagram. And by that I mean, if I post about a science fiction book, I will at best get one person who's into sci-fi seeing it. I realize that the only way forward with my kind of stuff is to lean towards what I've been privately avoiding for a while, which is the comedy side of things. Because I don't consider myself a comedian. I know comedians. They're a lot funnier than I am. I also enjoy writing the serious science fiction quite a lot. Professional comedians, they spend most of their time writing comedy. For me, it's 50-50 split between comedy and science fiction. So it makes you wonder. Right now, I'm wondering, has there always been comedic elements in everything I do? Who Built the Humans certainly had its comedic parts. And my new novel, The Stephanie Glitch, which I'll be querying to agents in January, does actually have comedic parts as well. Like when the main character dies and discovers that she lives in a simulation, her immediate reaction is to wind up the creator of that simulation. She does have these deep philosophical questions to ask, but she's also compelled by a need to just reject the absurdity of the situation by joking about it. Sorry, I hiccuped then. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm also getting into voice acting. I did for a while keep a note of every time somebody told me to do it. Same with comedy. Somebody said I had a very sexy, smooth voice the other day, which I thought was nice. So I shall be using that for evil. And there you go, there's another bit of comedy. That's a little joke. I can't help myself. I did a poetry gig the other day, which was quite fun. It's only 4 minutes long. I'd love to have a longer set, which is probably a good sign. And I'm learning that if you have a good enough thing, people don't mind listening to it twice. Whereas in the past, I've held myself back with this lunatic compulsion to always bring new material to the stage. Which has meant I've been reliant on paper. So that's a thing. I'm also going to a Just Stories event in Manchester, which is where allegedly it's just stories, but it's 75% poets now. Not the host's fault. Poets take over most events they go to. I did a poem the first time I went because, well, I didn't have a story. And then I realised I had stories, and more people went, so I thought I'll stick to the rules this time. So I can't really grumble too much, but it would be nice to go to an event where it's just stories, because as slow and laborious as some stories can be, I find them more enjoyable than poetry, which is weird considering how proud I was to be called a poet all the way back in 2013. There's a lot spiraling around inside my head at the moment, basically. I'm working out who I am and who I want to be. I watched a documentary on David Bowie, and I realized that the reason that the Man Who Sold the World album didn't sell too well in the beginning is because the people who liked the fact that David Bowie was wearing a dress on the album cover probably wouldn't buy the album because it was rock, and people that liked rock didn't necessarily want a picture of a man in a dress in their record collection. So he was interdisciplinary, he was mixed media. He was weird. He was a hybrid, like me, and like Who Built the Humans. So that meant people didn't really resonate with it. And that's where I am at the moment. I'm in this mire. I'm lost. And I'll be honest, it is upsetting because I don't want to be an artist, a poet, a science fiction author, a comedian, a comedy poet. I want to be me. And I feel that in the same way I feel that all these new genders that people are inventing, they're just personality types, rebranded. And I just think there's a lot of categorizing happening these days. I can't help but wonder, it gets conspiratorial now, I can't help but wonder if something to do with the internet and social media and how the algorithms work, and you've got to stay true to your brand. So I've started posting comedy now on Instagram, and I've realized that if I stop for 2 days, I lose about 3 followers. And if I post something about books, people like it, sure, but not everyone does. And it's obviously you can't please everyone, but I have a weird audience of people who've been around since I was promoting the Stephanie glitch, as if that was going to come out in 2019. And people who are there for the memes. And it's difficult. But that said, the next book that I've got coming out is probably going to be Hologram Kebab, which is entirely sci-fi comedy. It's basically all the funny bits from Who Built the Humans, but new stories. That's the kind of feeling that it's going to have. So I think that's probably going to work okay. And I've fixed the categories for Who Built the Humans at the moment. I'm actually still selling books. It's been taking off quite a bit after Comic-Con, so I'm doing okay in that regard. But I'm between projects at the moment. I'm getting back into Stephanie and I feel like there's something wrong. I don't know whether it's because I'm aiming to submit Stephanie to a publisher, because that scares me in a way, because I know I'm weird and I know they're probably going to say no. But I've got to give her a chance. I want to know what somebody else could do to one of my books. Had they given it the marketing that I can't? And I saw my first wedding poetry commission the other day. So I got paid to write a silly poem for somebody's wedding, a custom poem based on stories from their family. And I enjoyed it a lot. And I told some poets about it, some young writers, and they said, "Isn't that scary?" I said, "No, it's not. I know it's a tremendous responsibility, but if I fuck up, my client will tell me I fucked up, and I have an opportunity to unfuck up. It doesn't concern me. If you're doing this kind of delicate work where you're writing about something deeply personal to people, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be translation errors, there's going to be communication barriers. That's just a natural part of the landscape. So I walk into that, I embrace that, I love it. It's collaborative. Even the mistakes, they're collaborative. You can misinterpret something and, write what could otherwise be construed as the wrong thing, and the client will read it and go, "That's actually quite a good joke about my uncle's weird balls. I really appreciate that." You know? So I made more money from that poetry commission than I had from Who Built the Humans for a while. And I realized I need to be a comedy poet. Not naming names, but I've seen a few poets on the scene, and some of them advertise themselves as comedy poets, and they're just miserable. And I just think there's a niche in the market there, because I can make people laugh on stage. I don't know if I'm making you laugh right now. I'm putting on my grumpy persona. I also have the flu, by the way, so if I sound depressed, I'm not. I'm just ill, quite ill. I have itchy eyeballs, of all things. Of all parts of me that could itch, my eyes. And yes, I have scratched them, and it wasn't a good idea. I'm learning. But yeah, I'm going to include a link to my Substack at the end of this podcast. That's because that's where I do my sci-fi / comedy stuff and newsletter things right now. And I hope this podcast is actually attached to that. I tried to attach it to it. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll find out. And if it doesn't, well, I'll keep working on it. But for now, as we approach the 10-minute mark, here is a suddenly serious poem. I can feel the darkness falling, spikes of icy voices slicing through like a star's explosion, puncturing the ash-filled sky with glitter and limelight. Then there's a neurofump, the obsidian punch of grief, a dull thud in the morning as hurried news, fractured, fragmentary, spreads out from the core to extremities, like the wings of some demon, its tendrils cutting through. And where these things merge is a disconnecting and a dissonance and a severance. And I am a heavy net of senses, hauled and dredged from the depths, but not together. Not anymore. Just a swarm of something, the unbuilding of a storm cloud, now my only comparable shape. A thing which is not a thing. And that was originally written on the day Sean Locke died, about my feelings towards him and towards David Bowie as well. David Bowie's passing. With them both being quite inspirational figures to me. So yeah, my serious poem right at the end. I'll leave you with a joke. I couldn't think of a joke.